I want to speak to you a message entitled Breaking the Power of Despair. Breaking the Power of Despair. I had originally titled it Despair, Its Roots and Its Remedies. But I know the Holy Spirit is saying, no, this morning there's going to be a breaking of the power of despair over the lives of His people here this morning. And the Lord has been present from the opening and the rising of the curtain. And He has been here ministering His healing and His faith. And I know many hearts are ready to receive this word, not hear it only, but to receive it. And I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here this morning. And I thank You, Lord, in advance for all that You're going to do. Lord, I just pray You have Your way, that Holy Spirit, You would speak this morning, that You would lift up Jesus, that, Lord, we, for the glory of the Father, Lord, all that You want to do, let it go unhindered, for You are stronger, You are greater. I thank You for what You're going to do in every heart present. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Breaking the power of despair. If you would just turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 in the New Testament. This message this morning is for those Christians who wage a secret and a hidden battle with despair. It's a hidden condition for many here. And people would not associate with you with necessarily falling to despair or experiencing it to the depths that you do, that we all do as Christians from time to time. At times and seasons, we can experience a wave of hopelessness and apathy. We don't know why. And we cannot point to any specific reason many times. But there is a faint-heartedness that can come to the heart of a believer. And there can be barely a heartbeat of faith or joy, as an oppression of despair can come upon even Christians. In Isaiah 60, it says there is darkness over the earth and gross darkness over the people. And we know, from putting that scripture in context, that as the day approaches of Christ's return, that sin will be magnified in every nation throughout all the peoples. There will be this unchecked sin that is allowed to have dominion and power and sway over the minds and hearts of people, till it says darkness will cover the earth and a gross darkness the people. And the scripture says the wages of sin is death, and the death of hope and a death of innocence and a death of a sense of well-being will increasingly envelop the peoples of the earth. But Christians feel guilty about feelings of despair. There is almost a feeling like we shouldn't be feeling this way. After all, we have God and we have all the resources. But beloved, I'm here to tell you today, we are not immune to the seasons and the times. Jesus Himself on the earth experienced times of agony where He agonized. But ultimately, His victory and His triumph over it all is so much sweeter and hopes and holds out the hope for us as believers. Today, I'm speaking to the sincere Christian. I'm speaking to one who truly has experienced the life-changing life of Christ in them and all the evidence of it. Because you see, I may need to make that distinction right at the beginning. Because in the Christianity today, people can say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Lord can be one of the most lifeless words in Christianity today. It can be one of the most lifeless words, because He truly is not Lord. There is in reality no life governing their life other than their own. And no new management sign has been written over their lives. And a supernatural life has never been brought into their life, for Jesus said we must be born again. Because for those that have never made Jesus Christ Lord, so much of the despair of double-mindedness would dissipate, and much would be set right. But today, as I said, I want to talk to those that have asked Christ into their life, and to the best of their ability, they want him to be Lord over every part of their life. And it is to you that I am speaking this message, and to myself, about breaking the power of despair. There are three aspects of despair that I would like to speak about this morning. And the first one is found in Galatians 4. And it's despair when it is rooted, that comes when it is rooted in unbelief. And it says in Galatians 4, 22 and 23. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was, born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise." And skipping down to verse 28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And quite simply, this scripture is telling us that Abraham, who is the father of faith, had two sons. And these sons live in the same household, competing as it were. And the son of the bondwoman, this son represents a person who lives under the bondage of something in a religious setting. Someone who lives under the bondage of something in a religious setting. And Abraham, you know, being the father of faith, he has something to pass down to his lineage. And Ishmael was the son, Abraham's son, who was born in the natural way. And this represents you and I. There can be areas in our heart and areas of our faith where we are trying to please God and do all that we feel he is requiring, or live the life we're supposed to live, but we're doing it without faith. We live and we are in a religious environment. We do want the things of God, but there has been something born in us that is, we are trying now to please God, but without faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so we look at situations in family. We look at situations of finance. We look even to our what we feel God is doing, and sometimes feel so incapable of doing it. And we feel seemingly wanting God, having a religious environment, and yet we don't realize that many times we are trying to please God with promises. We are trying to please God with effort. We are trying to please God in order to, we pray, we do what it is. But beloved, there is an area in our heart that we don't really have faith to trust him. We are not really trusting God in a certain situation. And despair can come in because we believe in a religious situation. We're doing all we know to do so that there can be a breakthrough, so that the bondage can be broken. But the Bible says, in Christ, those that are in Christ, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast out that area where the Holy Spirit will begin to show us that we are trying, we are believing for things, but really without faith. We truly can, we can want to believe God, or we can pray, but we really at the end of the day are in our own flesh trying to make things happen for spiritual breakthroughs, for things to change. And yet we are not truly trusting Christ in that area. And the Bible says, cast out that bondwoman and that son of bondage that was born in the natural way of natural plans and natural understandings where we want it with all our heart. Cast that bondwoman and her son out because we can. Because you and I are heir. We are the heirs of Isaac. We in Christ have the legitimate promises that there will be a supernatural visitation in areas where we can't believe God. Where we say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God says, you are Isaac. And if you can pray that prayer, when my Holy Spirit comes upon you and you've been believing desperately for things, but we have somehow been drawn out onto the ground in our own strength and in a natural way, wanting to see something in the supernatural being brought through by our earnestness, by what we can do for God. Where we need a naked trust and say, Lord, you alone, this has to be a supernatural work. I need deliverance in this situation. And the Lord says, cast out that bondwoman, because if you're in Christ, you are Isaac, and you have the legitimate place in the heart of God. You have the lineage of faith as a son and as a daughter of Abraham. There is a lineage passed down in a supernatural way, because we can say, oh Lord, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Where we can say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, because a deposit of the inheritance has been put in us, the life of Christ, and we can cast out the bondwoman if we will be honest. And if we'll be willing to say, Lord, you know, sometimes when it just comes to certain grounds of trusting you, I realize I hold back. I'm almost afraid to trust you. I'm afraid. And the Lord knows that. But Jesus says in Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Beloved, we have been made free when we came to Christ. When we came to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to break the bondage and power of sin. And the despair that comes in with unbelief. Jesus said, not because we deserved it and not because we earned it will we be free. But we are made free. It is a gift of God through Christ. We are made free. We don't pray ourselves into freedom. We are made free. It is a gift that God brings and the power to get free. That's why God can say, cast that unbelief out, because we can. Beloved, it says, when it says that Christ has made us free, Christ has made us free in him. That actually is a paraphrase, and it means like this. It means that Jesus died for our freedom. It is for freedom Christ freed us. That's another way of saying it. For freedom Christ freed us. In other words, it is his absolute intention to break in us the bondage of the natural man. It is his intention. It is his will. It is his desire. It is his ableness to set you and I free of unbelief that opens the door to despair so many times. He is able to set us free because it is for freedom Christ freed us. In other words, beloved, this is our inheritance. That the church is to be born of the free woman. That the church is to go from strength to strength. The church is to go from glory to glory. The church is to move from freedom to freedom. Jesus said, I don't care how deep the bondage in you and I. I don't care why it's there. I don't care why or how it was formed. When you come to me, the first evidence is that I make you free from the power and the bondage of the darkness that was in you and around you. That is my gift to you. And you can stand even with the faintest glimmer of a hope and stand in Christ and test and see if it is not our emotions or our feelings if we feel strong that day. But we return to a living word and we begin to read it. Something begins to stir because the door has flung open. The cage has been rent and we have been made free. He says, stand up and prove it. See that I have not done this in you when you belong to me. The scripture says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of life that is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life, who is the life, and is the law of the spirit of life, the law of Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. His life is a higher law. His power is a higher power. His authority is a greater authority than the law of sin and death that operates in humanity. And the church needs to be willing, when they come up against a stronghold in our hearts, beloved, a stronghold of unbelief, when we come to the gates of Jericho, and we understand we cannot enter into the promised land and believe as we should for what we know we should believe in God for. When we, like the children of Israel, come to Jericho and it's a stronghold, we must remember there was no other way that those walls came down except a supernatural visitation to bring them down. And when we stand on the verge of the promises of God where he says, I'm going to transform your children and make them mighty on the earth. I will visit your family to the third and fourth generation. I will repair the finances and break a spirit of poverty off you. I will make you so that you will long to be my servant and not the servant of mammon. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit to walk these streets in purity and in white. I will make you an overcomer to that which used to keep you under the enemy's heel. Where Jesus said, whatever takes you to the gates of Jericho, to a stronghold, beloved, do not be afraid, for it is the Lord's timing that has brought you to this stronghold. For Jesus says that my church, it is for freedom. Christ freed us. We don't have to be afraid of his intention. His intention is to free us. We don't have to be afraid, did we somehow, you know, not please him enough. No, it's by coming to him and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He says, then I touch that one to believe me. That you and I may stand at strongholds of unbelief and say, Lord, only you can. But I look up, I go to this word, I begin to read your word where you say the law of the spirit of life in Christ will bring down the death and the bondage in me. It is greater because I have been made free. It's not something you and I work up. When we came to salvation, freedom was our portion and our inheritance in Christ. And beloved, many of us, with truth, at times in seasons of despair, we need to, thank you, we need to challenge the darkness with truth. We need to challenge the darkness with truth. When there are days when you feel so low, when we feel so low, because it's this despair that is mounting in the nations is almost like the air we breathe. And what is going to set us apart? Not that we never experience despair, but having, when it comes to the edges of our soul and mind, when some days it wants to overpower us, when we don't know why we want to give up or why all of a sudden the struggle becomes so hard. We remember that we can return to the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says, the love that I've loved you with challenge this darkness. I have made you free from the bondage and the power of it. Hallelujah. And it says, you can turn just very quickly with me to Romans 6, just to finish this part up. But it says in Romans 6, and verse 5, if I can just read it to you. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Serve, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. You see, when despair has an open door, because there's parts we just honestly don't believe. When we have actually been led by the Spirit himself to the gates of Jericho, because there is a place that we find so hard that we can be or we can do what God is asking us to do. Beloved, that's the time to lift up our heads. And that's the time to remember that Jesus said that when we've asked Christ into our life, we have invited the power of his life. That our old man, our old nature, that Ishmael, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. When we unify with Christ, when we say, be Lord of my life, he says, granted, all that I am and all that I've done, so shall you be. And you and I will be given power to be planted together with him into his death. And in that death, we will be given power that the body of sin might be destroyed. That is the inheritance of the saints, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Not something we do, but that as we say, Lord, come into my life and all that you are, he says, planted together, I will take you down into the grave with me. And there will be a supernatural ability to die to unbelief. There will be a supernatural ability to die to sin. Not because we're special, but Christ, who himself went to the cross, died for our sin, broke the penalty of sin and the power of sin, says, now together we'll do it again. I'll come and live with you, and you will be given a supernatural ability to die, to fear, to the unbelief. And then planted together with me, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Something will break in us, and there is all of a sudden no power, no desire for us to serve sin. When we sin, we will be convicted, we will be miserable. This is proof you're saved. There will be no peace of mind, our tranquility will leave, our testimony will suffer, and we will be miserable. Because we have been created for better things. That God himself resides in us, and he is greater and he is stronger than the sin that wants to dominate or lead us at that moment. But Christ, our Redeemer, will rise up in us and say, there is no need, for sin shall not have dominion, for that's the inheritance you have in me, saith the Lord. And a supernatural ability to die to unbelief that brings in the despair is ours in Christ. We've said it so many times from this pulpit, but the gospel is about dead men living. It's about dead men living. It's about those that were dead in sin being raised to new life, and it's like those being given a supernatural ability to die to sin and raise in a resurrected life. Hallelujah. It is for freedom Christ died. He died for our freedom, and we glorify him when we get free, when we believe him for freedom, when we come to the end of ourselves, but say, Lord, you died that I may be free. I believe it, Lord, that I believe. I look to the cross and I'm quickened because I know what love did for me and that you died for my freedom. And then we are no longer a servant to sin, it says. We're not going to be, in verse 17, it says, we're not going to be a servant to sin, but we are going to be a servant to the Lord. Because many times, you see, that's where all people get in trouble. They want this freedom in their life, and yet the freedom is that they can now take over master of a clean ship. Master of this new life. No, beloved, as Christ begins to work in our heart and we believe him for strongholds, believe that he is for our freedom, and we begin to experience it just by calling on that name, just by returning to a living word, and he quickens us where he says, I am with you. It is my power in you. The gates of hell and the walls of Jericho crumble before me. And you will see, beloved, how are we going to call and know him in this wonderful way except we be brought many times to places where we begin to see that our faith has not been in him for the really hard places. And he says, you can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. I will be God to you, and I will not fail you when you need me the most. And the church needs this testimony that you and I prove him in a dark moment. He will be faithful. So despair will not be our permanent condition. When despair is rooted in unbelief, there is a remedy. There is a remedy, and it is the cross. Hallelujah. And we will know a supernatural fallings of the walls of unbelief that keep us out of the promised land that Christ has for us. Now, quickly, I just want to go to the second aspect of despair. And that is, many times despair can find a place in the heart of a believer because of pain. You know, there is an experience of the soul that's very similar to the experience when the body faints. When a body faints, it experiences an utter loss of strength. When the body faints, there's a paleness, a clammy sweat. The body goes limp. It goes beyond the control of the human will and just fades away into unconsciousness. And as surely as a human body can experience a faint, so can the soul. And, you know, one time I fainted because of pain. Through an accident, I dislocated my shoulder. And it was out for quite a while. It couldn't get back in. And as the pain just began to mount in my body, shortly after, I absolutely passed out. That was the way my body coped with the pain. And you know, there is a pain in the soul. And sometimes it's a loneliness of soul, where people can feel very isolated and shut out from all the souls around it. Sometimes there can be a sinking down under where our soul seems so dull and dead to the promises of God. Sometimes it's like 1,000 petty demons, like the fabled Lilliputians that can tie our spiritual hands and feet while we sleep. When we go to rise, we seem unable. Where there can be a joy that's turned to ashes, and that feeling of paralysis and spiritual inability. And beloved, many times as the body itself will cope with pain by fainting away, so also can the soul also experience this diminishing and this fainting away. I think of it where it says in Hebrews, it says, you endured a great fight of afflictions. That it's speaking to some Christians who've become a gazing stock or a reproach for a season in their stand for Christ, in their want, in their standing and believing, in their praying, that all of a sudden they come under a great fight of afflictions. And many times the fainting away of the soul because of the actual pain that they're experiencing. But there is a wonderful, wonderful remedy. And it's found in Hebrews, and it says this, consider him who endured, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And when we feel that isolation, that loneliness, when we feel that dullness of soul, when we feel that strength seeming to be ebbing away, and it's in response to pain, just like the body does. Jesus, the scripture says, consider Jesus. When prayer feels impossible, consider Jesus who endured. You know, beloved, he endured his inner feelings being fettered and smitten 1,000 different ways when he walked this earth. His personal yearnings, normal yearnings of the heart, were many times denied or snubbed. He constantly was in a hostile environment, at disagreement with his nature. He knew and understood so much of what we go through. And we must always remember that Jesus does not despise our frail flesh. In fact, he took on frail flesh to always be a reminder, I'm not a God up there. I'm a God who came down here, that I could be a God who lives in here. And I'm moved by the feelings of your infirmities, for I experienced every one of them, yet without sin. I know what it is to have the loneliness of soul. I know what it is to have that isolation. I know what it is to not be understood. I know what it is to have the reproach. I know what it is. And Jesus said, I willingly took it, that I may be the fellow yoke bearer with you, that I may have a friendship with you in sufferings that will be sweeter than anything you've ever experienced this side of the earth. I have decreed that there is a fellowship in the sufferings. And if you will consider him who endured, you and I will look to him and somehow be quickened and faint not in the times of pain in our soul. Yes, we will. And that despair that those conditions bring will be broken as we consider him who endured. And he who endured walks alongside us, infuses us with new strength. And the power of despair is broken and Jesus gets sweeter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He endured so we could too. Hallelujah. Because we're called to go from strength to strength, as only by the Spirit of God. And thirdly, the third aspect of despair, it says this, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. It's been such a fatherless generation that when chastening or rebuke comes, we don't know how to handle it. For never having a father, never understanding how that is an expression of love. And some, they chafe under it and they don't understand it. And for many, they feel when they come under the chastening of God that they're being pushed away, that they're being rejected of God, that they've crossed a line, and that the plans God had for them now have changed because there's been failure or fear or unbelief. And the Bible says, don't despise the chastening of God, and don't faint when you are rebuked of him, because he's not rejecting you. When he rebukes us, he's not rejecting us. It is the ultimate sign that we are a son, that we are his child. For the father that chastens, it's the right of the father and the privilege of the father, because of the love of a father, to correct his son. Because it is for freedom he corrects us. He knows that many times that when we're in need of this chastening, because he loves us and he has an end that we may be free. And you know, I also have an experience of fainting. I sound like an expert in it, but I fainted one time because a foreign object entered into my head. And it was there for 5 years. It was actually the point of a pencil. When I was 9 years old, I was being chased around the tree. And I tripped and fell over the roots of the tree, and I was carrying my books and pencils and everything, and the tapered portion of the pencil was driven up into my head and lodged in the bone above my eye. I passed out, and I was brought to my friend's house, and everybody said to me, what happened? And when I came to, I looked around, I saw my books, and I saw a ruler, and I said, I guess I slit my eyelid with a ruler. And everyone thought that's what happened. But 5 years later, with a foreign object in my head, in fact, a piece of pencil big enough to write with in my head, it started to create chain reactions, and I began to grow disfigured and also violent headaches. And finally, at one time, I had a seizure and fainted away. When they did the tests, they saw there was a foreign object in there. Everybody assumed a tumor, but when they opened it up, sure enough, piece of pencil big enough to write with. It had gone, it lodged in the only place in your whole head that is safe for a piece of pencil to go. Doctor said that I was the luckiest young lady he had ever met. You know, but what I want to say about fainting is sometimes we faint because foreign objects enter our head, usually through our heart. Foreign objects enter our head, usually through our heart. And these foreign objects of hatred or bitterness and pride and unforgiveness enter in. And they want us to despise the chastening of the Lord, which will lead us, if we despise it, to faint. But God says, you don't have to faint and fade away. You don't have to let despair that I have rejected you and that plan B is now what's to be in your life. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord and don't grow despairing that I have been set aside. No, you have not been rejected. You're a son. For God knows that what it takes to take the foreign object that is in our head and speaks to us every day and to remove it, that our peace and our testimony may be fully restored. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't run away, because some of you, if you start running, you'll never stop running. Remember that it is your Father who loves you, who sent his Son, that we may be free. We don't have to live with a foreign object in our head that many times has entered through our heart and wreaking havoc. We don't have to faint away if we will remember that the chastening or this disciplining of our Father is for our good, is for our freedom, it's for his glory and our peace and testimony in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, beloved, the church needs to get free. And that means you and I have to get free, because we are the church. Don't wait for the one beside you to get free. It is for freedom Christ died for you and I. It's our privilege. No matter what the journey to freedom looks like, do not be afraid. There's where the despair comes, because the journey is too great for us. But if we will not despise the chastening and understand how tender and how merciful Jesus is with us, no matter what the causes of despair, may I say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. We do not sorrow as others sorrow, because we have a Father. We have a Savior. There's reasons and seasons where we experience this, but Christ said, you do not have to live under the bondage of it. I will break the power of the unbelief. I will comfort you. And I will call you son, that you may fully receive the inheritance I have for you. Be encouraged this day, my brothers and sisters. Be encouraged this day. For when you experience despair and it sweeps over your soul, you know it's but for a moment. And you know that Christ is with you, and that it is for freedom ultimately that he'll bring us into. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. You know, this message ultimately is not a pep talk, is it? It's reality. Because I'm sometimes bowed down by despair, we can lose our way. And lies find a lodging place that hinder us. But that won't happen to here today. Christ is here to break something. And if this message is spoken to you and you want to come forward, the power of the Lord is here. And he knows how to go behind every wall. He knows every reason for what you and I are experiencing. But it is his intention to send us out of here free from the power of despair. Free from the power of despair. We will not be shaped by it. We will be shaped by love and Christ. As the musicians come, and you want to come to this altar and experience the presence and the power of the Lord for your situation, will you come as the musicians play? breaking the power of despair lies in this one truth. You will not live in agony of soul forever. In Christ, it's a season and a time for whatever reason, but it will not last forever. If you are in loneliness of soul, Jesus said, you're understood. I've come to help you. I endured, you will endure, and I'll take you through. If you're being chastened, you're a son. You are loved, and you're not rejected. You are not rejected. You're being shaped into a fine child. And if the burden of not believing him was too great, he says, come to me. You are free from the bondage of unbelief. That's your inheritance when you ask me into your life. I died that the bondage of unbelief be broken. So step out. Read this word. Faith will stir in your soul. And you will rise to believe. Despair is not a permanent condition for the child of God. And we'll learn from the times and the seasons, but we will not live there. We will not live there. The world will sink under the weight and the hopelessness, but our testimony is we will rise. And light will rise upon us. Hallelujah. 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 Would you just lift your hands? Father, we thank you for the great hope and truth that lies in you, Jesus, and the power to lift our souls. I thank you, Lord, now you would come and comfort and break the heaviness and the bondage of despair. Cause to endure, Lord, those that for a season find themselves on this path. We remind them it shall not always be so. And that joy will come in the morning. For those, Lord, I thank you that the power of unbelief is broken. You love them. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. There is hope because you live. And Jesus, you always live. You are forever. I thank you, O God. And I thank you, Lord, that you will minister very deeply, Lord, to those in this time, Lord. And I pray for those that are chafing under the judgment, or not the judgment, but the discipline of God. That, Lord, I pray they would just get to the root of things and let that foreign object be taken out of their heads. And I thank you. This is your will, your desire, and why you died. It is for freedom, our freedom. Christ died. Thank you, Lord, in you and only in you do we go from freedom to freedom without condemnation. Thank you for breaking the power of despair, the lie behind it that it never ends. And I thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, go rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, you are greater, you are stronger than anything made of the devil, our own heart, or the world. You are greater and you are stronger. And we receive it now. We receive your power, your love, and your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.